Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Looking at their roster, knowing I was going to come on with you guys, just checking out their depth chart again. If they don't win it this year, they're never going to. I mean, this is the year. This is the Bills' year. I want them to win it so bad, I can taste it. I don't really see a weakness on their roster right now. Contrary to other people, I think the Patriots are going to take a 2-3, maybe even a 4-game step back. And I don't know that much about Jarrett Stidham. They seem to like him.
Yeah, that was Ross Tucker, former Bill, who was on with us an hour ago. And we talked about the Bills and whether they're the favorites for the AFC East. We talked about New England, rest of the contenders in the AFC, Josh Allen, whole bunch of good stuff. So if you want to hear that football conversation, you can use the rewind function of the radio.com app. And also it's available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. So there you go. Jeremy, I want to ask you a little bit about the story that came out about the Diggs trade. Well, it was about Emmanuel Sanders, and it encompasses the Diggs trade. Emmanuel Sanders, free agent wide receiver, was on the Rich Eisen show, and he had mentioned that while he was looking for a new home, he had been talking with the Bills a little bit, and they asked him about, you know, coming to play here and all other stuff, and he said he needed a night to think about the decision. His quote was, "I spoke with the Bills for a little bit. I told them, let me think about the idea. Give me a night." And 30 minutes later, the Stephon Diggs deal went through, and I was like, okay. So let me ask you, was Diggs the fallback? Was Bean trying to do both, do you think? Did he want to trade for Diggs and also bring in Emmanuel Sanders? What did you make of all that stuff?
Well, there's no way Diggs is the fallback. Diggs,
right?
That's the
premier move of the offseason.
It's the dream scenario.
Yeah.
Well, the story about the Diggs trade was that it came together quickly.
Yeah, that afternoon,
9:45 that evening, it was, you know, something they touched base on. So, sure, yeah, you make offers, you try and figure out what you're going to do, and then when that trade goes through, you know, it's just like, you know, I always say this, but fantasy football is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to make trade with this guy, or you're thinking about claiming this player on waivers, and then you make another trade, and you say, oh, sorry, I'm all set.
Yeah.
I got what I needed. So. I totally believe it, by the way. There's every reason to believe the Bills would be interested in Emmanuel Sanders. He's a veteran who's had a nice little career, had his best production with Peyton Manning, right, in Denver for a couple years there, a couple thousand-yard seasons.
Yeah, he had a good year last year in San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah. I have every reason to believe that story is true, that the Bills were interested in going after him. And, you know, sometimes something better comes along. You just alter what you were going to do. I wonder what they would have paid him. And what he would have commanded as a salary.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what he got, actually. I don't remember what the terms were.
Where he signed where?
That's the other part I was trying to...
I don't remember where he signed.
Saints.
Well, that's Saints. A nice move. I mean, he's a nice piece to throw in a group that has Michael Thomas, right? Like other stud guys in there. So that's a nice move for the Saints. I like Emmanuel Sanders.
2 years, $16
million. Okay, $8 million a year. Yeah. That's about right. And Diggs makes 12, right? So...
Yeah.
Okay.
Thereabouts, I forget, and with the 4 years left on his contract.
You know,
I was – go ahead, yeah.
No, I was just going to say,
I think I because of the Diggs trade, I think some fans might stop thinking about wide receiver. And I just think, I don't know if this is the indication that they weren't done, which that they weren't going to go, Diggs trade, done. Because I think, I know they re-signed Isaiah McKenzie. I expect them to draft a wide receiver. I didn't think Diggs was clearly your top get, your big gun, but I still think they want to add to that receiving core, and maybe Sanders is an indication of that. I'm not sure what's left in terms of free agency, quite honestly, but I still expect them to draft a receiver somewhere in, you know, either the second round or, you know, the third round, fourth at the latest. I expect them still to target that position.
Yeah. Well, one thing I was thinking about yesterday with regard to Allen and this passing game, the Bills tweeted out a highlight of Allen getting that first down against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, where he fumbles the snap
and then
pulls it out of the pile
yep.
and jumps once and twists away. Just an iconic moment for Allen on Thanksgiving in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's I'm thinking about what Diggs said, how he thinks Josh Allen's a dog. Like, you know, that guy plays hard. Allen, of all the things he's probably done to prove to the league that he's a guy you might want to play with, it's probably that play more than any, in all seriousness. Because even, you know, watching that clip back, Romo raving about that, like, look at this. I've never seen this before. And it's true. I don't remember a guy fumbling a quarterback sneak and fighting his way like that. Now, you know, if you think about the conversation we had with Ross Tucker, you know, what happens if Allen's inaccurate and he doesn't find Diggs, and is Diggs going to have a problem with that? Well, there's a couple ways that these relationships can kind of go, right? If you are a jerk and you don't produce, that's bad. If you are everyone's best friend and don't produce, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a little bit more leeway. And this is true of every quarterback, of every position, of lots of people in the world. If you are a diva, but you put up 20 touchdowns, you're on the team.
Right.
If you're a diva, but you're on the practice squad, they say, see ya, bud, and, you know, not interested.
Right.
So I think there's a whole spectrum of kind of – what other spectrum of examples or a spectrum you could be on? And if Allen is someone that, while he does maybe struggle with accuracy, but it's passable, if he's the kind of guy that is always, you know, accountable to his teammates and they never, ever question – that he's working hard at it,
mm-hmm.
then that buys you a little bit more time with teammates, with fans, with coaches. You know, it's someone that takes it seriously or someone that pours themselves into it is going to get a little bit more benefit of the doubt. So one of the things that we talked about with Matthew Collar in Minnesota, one of the things he said about Cousins was Cousins comes across like a guy that's not a gamer, that is not dedicated to the moment like that the way that Allen is. And he might be a better quarterback, but, you know – there's something to be said for what that means in a quarterback-receiver relationship. You know, you might just have it where Diggs wants the ball more, but he knows. I don't want to, you know, profess to know Diggs and what's going to drive him at this point, but what's going to drive him, my guess would be, as I said, I don't want to profess to do that, but he wants to be great and he wants to win.
Mm-hmm.
And Allen probably wants the same, right? He wants to be great and he wants to win. And you want to do it for your teammates. It comes down to the results. It's why I don't worry about whether or not Diggs gets upset with Allen's production or Allen's ability to put passes on him. Because if that is a problem, then the problem isn't how Diggs reacts to it. The problem is that Allen isn't doing it.
Right.
You know, so like, what happens if Allen's not that good? Well, I think that means that Allen's the problem, not the receiver that has proven to be very good. So all this is just a big, huge point about I started with that quarterback sneak, but mm-hmm. I think he gets the respect of his teammates. I think that's very clear. The guys do like to play with him, for him. He plays for them, and that might be something that can kind of, you know, tamp down any sort of public problems in that regard. I think it's very possible that Allen's attitude and Allen, the way he carries himself and the way he appears to be driven in that way, can help the situation.
I'll get to Allen in a second, but when you were talking about Cousins, and I don't, you know, this could be neither here nor there in this discussion, but it's what popped into my head. When you were talking about Cousins and his, I don't know if I say attitude, approach, whatever it is, I actually was thinking about, I believe it was it in Washington where he had like a big game one time And they, you know, the cameras caught him running off the field, like, how you like that, or whatever the heck he was yelling at them. And Pete, it was a big story because they were like, well, that's not like Kirk Cousins. Like, Cousins doesn't get ruffled. He doesn't get upset. He doesn't snap at you if you're criticizing him. Like, he just kind of goes about his life. And then he has this big game, and he's tired of everybody second-guessing him. And he's, like, shouting going into the locker room. And it all of a sudden became, like, this signature moment for Kirk Cousins because it's very much unlike, I guess, his personality to have that thing.
Think about Ryan Fitzpatrick for a moment here. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not a perfect quarterback. Everybody knows that. He hangs on in the league and throws some picks and gets some teams beat. But what is he? He's really likable.
Right.
Everybody loves him.
Right.
You know, if he were the biggest jerk alive, he might have been out of the league 5 years ago.
Right.
But he's a good teammate, and there is value in that. You know, the ultimate scoreboard for Fitz is, do you win? And, you know, a lot of people kind of feel like they know what Fitz is. And, you know, if he were on a team with a great defense and, you know, maybe last year's Bills, maybe he gets a team to the playoffs. But I think there's a point in there. I think about this with goalies and, you know, if you're a backup goaltender, it helps to be a nice guy. You know, if you're not getting all the starts, the starter's got to like you. Or you've got to at least get along well enough to maybe keep that job. It can help an awful lot, I would think, to have a good attitude. And that's true in a lot of things, a lot of professions. And, of course, in the ultimate results-driven businesses – if you don't have a great attitude or you aren't a great teammate, but you do get the results, you know, that can trump it. That's where you can stay in that spot.
Yeah, and I think with Allen, look, if any receiver doesn't get the ball, they're all going to be frustrated. Maybe we wouldn't notice Robert Foster if he gets frustrated, but you would notice John Brown. You would notice Cole Beasley. And, you know, you'd probably look for the higher profile guys, the Diggses, the Odell Beckhams. You're going to tell me DeAndre Hopkins at halftime last year wasn't angry? Like, maybe he didn't demonstrate it on the field during the playoff game against the Bills. What did he have, like one target, maybe two, when Trey was covering him in that game? And they're like, I'm just watching the game. I'm going, hey, they're going to try and get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. And guess what they did in the second half? Hey, they threw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins, and it helped him. Anybody's going to get upset. And there were times last year where I'm sure John, you know, where John Brown might be open and the throw misses him, or Beasley's open and they don't, and Josh doesn't look his way. And they're like, dude, what? I mean, I'm open, you know, when are you going to get me the ball? I think if there's an issue with Diggs and he's not getting targets and all this stuff, I think there's a larger issue of Josh not proceeding as we hope in year three. I'm expecting a step from him. You have to be. And when Ross Tucker was on with us this morning, one of the things he talked about is, you know, he was, I don't know if he said worried or concerned, however he phrased it at the time, about would the Bills, because of Diggs, would the Bills become, quote, too pass happy? And I thought, hey, it's okay to throw the football. Like, I'd actually like to see a dangerous passing offense here. And I'd like to see them throw more on Josh Allen's plate. And I'd like to see them get Diggs 10 targets a game. And I want to see them be able to have a dangerous air attack and Josh to hit the deep balls and all this stuff. So if for some reason, if Diggs' numbers aren't there, I think we're probably talking more about, okay, Josh doesn't seem to be taking another step. Like, he can... how do I want to phrase this? We were talking about, Ross brought up again the crazy lateral in Houston and some of the sacks he took and all these things. And to me, Josh Allen, the first 2 years has been function. They said, hey, function in the offense. This is play within yourself, whatever coaches will tell you. Hey, just play your game. Play within the system, function within the offense. I need a quarterback who can win games. I need a quarterback who can step up and be the guy at times and make big plays with his arm, with his legs, whatever. And, you know, Josh doesn't do that consistently, but I need to see that guy step up in year three and say, okay, yep, let's go. We're not going to get to 17 and say, hey, our defense is going to play really well. They're one of the top defenses in the league. We get to 20. We're winning the game. Mm-mm. I want to see them be aggressive. I want to see them attack. I want to see them take advantage with their passing offense with these weapons that we talk about, Diggs and Brown and Beasley and Knox and Singletary in the running game, but Singletary also is a passing weapon. I need to see that. And if Diggs' numbers aren't there, I'm going to guess Josh is not maybe doing what I thought he could do in year three, and maybe Dable is dialing things down in the game plan and thinking, okay, maybe I can't go too crazy with my passing game. I got to run the ball a little bit more because Josh Allen isn't good enough or ready or at a point where we can say, great man, you know what? We're throwing the ball 40 times today. Their secondary sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that they can do that, but I'd like to see it.
Well, one thing that, you know, should the season go on according to plan and everything go forward, there have been people that have been really protective of Josh Allen and his growth and think, you know, that there are haters out there that will never like him no matter what. A great example is Sam Monson, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Sam Monson, last time when I was on vacation, you and Sal had him on the show, and people yelled at you about having him because he hates the Bills
so
much.
This was before the segment even began. Like when we tweeted out he's on the show, they're like, why are you having him on?
He hates the Bills. Right. He hates the Bills. Right. Well, now he thinks the Bills have the top three receivers, the top receiving duo, trio.
You put a piece out that yesterday, I think, right?
Or, mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just like, well, he doesn't hate the Bills. He's evaluating objectively. And now you have all these pieces in place. I mean, if you thought Allen was unfairly criticized before, I think you're going to be in trouble when he's criticized now if he doesn't get stuff done. Because there's no doubt that the weapons are there. Before, there were all these doubts, all these things. He's young, and they don't have weapons. His first year, they didn't have weapons. You know, continuity. Now, it is really all in place.
Right.
There's no reason for him not to be – not quite at his ceiling, but, you know, a fully formed version of what he's going to become almost.
You know what
this
I was
year.
I'm sorry. You know how I was thinking about? I was thinking about Baker Mayfield. Like, Baker Mayfield, the expectations for him last year were sky high. Like, maybe, you know, what people were saying about the Browns a year ago is what we're saying now about the Bills, right? Hey, they could win the division. You know, from an individual standpoint, I think the expectations for Mayfield were higher than what people think from Josh Allen in year three. But there were these big thoughts, you know, we talked about it. We're not even Browns fans. Hey, they got Odell Beckham and they got Jarvis Landry and look at their stable of running backs. And okay, they've got some, they put some really good skill players around them and they had fired Hugh Jackson and Freddie Kitchens had done a good job as the play caller. And in Mayfield's rookie year, he looked like he had really good potential and all this stuff. And it, for whatever reason, it never materialized last year, but there were very high hopes and high expectations. And when it's not reached, guess what? You hear a lot of criticism, and it's going to be directed at the quarterback. Look, you know, for Josh Allen in year three, there is no quote-unquote crutch or excuse. You know, I mean, the only excuse you might say is, okay, well, you know, they didn't have off-season activities. Okay, so he's been around this team 2 years. He's got the same coordinator. He's got the same head coach. He's got the same quarterback coach back for a second year. He's familiar with the game plan. He's got mostly the same parts. The only new piece, significant new piece, is Diggs, who, by the way, could be the best player on the offense. So everybody else is back. It's the same offensive line. You might still have the same five starters. Singletary's back. Knox is back. Croft is back. Brown, Beasley, McKenzie, Foster, Duke Williams, they're all back. So even if there's no OTAs, who cares? I mean, he knows the personnel. He knows the playbook. He knows the play caller. And you're still going to have a really good defense. So there really isn't anything left to say, well, at least what Mayfield was like, well, Freddie Kitchens is a bum. Like, he's not a good head coach. He was overmatched. He couldn't do that and be the play caller. And guess what? Mayfield and the offense suffered for that. Well, that's not going to be the case here in Buffalo. I mean, the overall picture of, well, there's going to be more pressure on the Bills and we're going to be more critical, which can make for a more stressful season. Well, the same thing is with Josh Allen, because a year from now, we're talking about whether they're picking up the fifth-year option on Josh Allen, you know, and or whether they should, hey, look where quarterback money's going. The heck with the fifth-year option. You can now work an extension. Like, it's where Trey White is now. After year three, you can give him an extension if you so desire. That's a big discussion a year from now with Josh. And so he faces a lot of pressure this season because there is no out, if you will, right? You can't blame the weapons around him. You can't blame, well, he's going on his third coordinator in 3 years. You can't bring up any of that stuff with Josh Allen. He's in a very good position to flourish, and to really shine this year.
Yeah.
If there's a football season. Assuming there's a football season. Brandon Bean's going to speak today, by the way. 11 o'clock is going to have a conference call with the media. Sal's going to be in on that, and he'll have a chance for the first time this offseason to talk about the guys that have signed the contracts. I lost track. I'm not sure if there are still guys that agreed but didn't get a physical and didn't sign officially. There probably are. But anyway, he'll talk about the guys that signed. I'm sure he will talk about Stephon Diggs, and he'll probably get a question or two about Josh Allen. So follow Sal on Twitter if you don't already, because he'll have details from Brandon Bean's press conference. We'll have a story at WGR550.com. But Josh is more than, I mean, Lamar Jackson. I'm trying to think, Jeremy, like, who's from his class, from Josh's class, forget Rosen, forget Mason Rudolph, right? Who's under the most pressure this season? Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield. Darnold, too. I shouldn't forget about Darnold. Mm. I feel like Darnold, you can still go, yeah, but his coach is Adam Gase. Yeah, and look at his receiving core.
I mean, Darnold's got that. He's got New York. Mayfield's got to prove that his first year wasn't a fluke, and Lamar Jackson's to live up to the MVP.
Right. That's what I'm wondering. Know, like, yeah, who's facing the most pressure?
You've got a pretty good class of pressure for that group.
For different reasons, right.
Yeah.
You know, Mayfield can't be, quote, the coach killer, right? So he's got to be able to shine, because and then you can say, you see, it wasn't Baker Mayfield. It was Freddie Kitchens, and Mayfield looks good now. And I think Darnold, out of that group, Darnold still has, like, you can still say, you can make whatever you want to call it, excuses, a case. Darnold, you can go, yeah, but Adam Gase, and Tannehill was better after Gase, and, you know, the offense last year stunk with the Jets, and they lost their best receiving option in Robbie Anderson. And you still look at, you know, they bring in Le'Veon Bell, and the coach doesn't really want to use Le'Veon Bell. He doesn't get him carries and touches. And, you know, their skill position players outside of Le'Veon Bell are okay, but not great. And they're rebuilding the offensive line, right? Josh Allen has his line coming back. Sam Darnold could have four new starters on the offensive line this season. So you can, like, he's not in that pressure. I think you can still find a number of things that say, well, Darnold didn't take a big step this season because boom, 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 boom. You really can't say that about the other guys, the other three guys.
Yeah.
You know, everything's in place for them.
It's going to be interesting whenever it happens.
Let me get, we'll get to call on this too, 803-0550. Talk a little Bills football with you. Dennis in Buffalo, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. First of all, I'd like to commend you on doing 4 hours when there's no sports going on in the world today, and I'm sure that's a tough job. But what I really called about was with nothing going on, and the only thing going on in the foreseeable future is the NFL draft, I was wondering if you guys could take a suggestion here. With the Bills not knowing, you know, who's going to be available, it looks like we're going to take either cornerback or defensive lineman, or offensive line, something like that. Perhaps, if this is possible, maybe you guys could reach out to the radio stations that might cover some of the college games of the players that we might be considering.
Mm-hmm.
Talk with their play-by-play man or color man, and just so we can get a little idea of pluses and minuses, strengths and weaknesses, of maybe some of the guys that we would be considering.
Yeah.
We have,
but you know what? It's funny. Like, Dennis, I know your comment is about what your comment on the screen says, will they draft a corner? We have done that, but honestly, I know I was setting up the guests. This was also before they moved their first round pick. To me, I was setting up the guests about wide receiver and edge rusher, because I looked at those with or without a first round pick, to me, as two really important targets for the Bills in the draft. Now, cornerback, sure, they could take a cornerback at 54. There's a discussion from people about whether the running back is taken at 54. You can still bring up offensive tackle, though it's, I got to be honest with you, Dennis, not the most exciting conversation to get play-by-play people on to talk about someone who's an offensive tackle. But, yeah, we are doing that. So I appreciate the call, but like I said, we'll try and expand it. We were limiting it, I was, by design, limiting it to edge rushers and wide receiver, which is also easier, I think, to evaluate someone's performance. A play-by-play guy isn't necessarily – you can talk about, hey, can he get the quarterback? Hey, can the guy get open? And a running back, too. It's a little bit tougher to talk about this guy's pass blocking, this guy's run blocking, and some offensive tackle stuff. But, yeah, we'll look into some of the other guys. And we do cover those positions with the draft guys that we have on, you know? Like, all the different draft experts will come on and say, hey, second round, 54, cornerback. Who could be out there? What are the strengths of this guy's game? So on-demand audio, Dennis. But we'll keep doing that stuff as we get to the scheduled April 23rd draft. Everything is scheduled. Hey, when we get back, by the way, you can always join us, 803-0550. We love getting phone calls, 888-550-2550. One of the things we're doing, speaking of the Bills and next season, is going through their opponents on the schedule, see what's going on in the offseason, who they've lost, who they've added, what their approach is for the draft. San Francisco, the defending NFC champions, are on the Bills' schedule next season. We'll delve into the 49ers offseason when we return. You can always join us too, 803-0550. We're broadcasting from the Dunn Tire Studios. Dunn Tire, it's a done deal.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Had his first full season as a starter in the NFL and ended up in the Super Bowl. And, you know, I know Jimmy feels the same way we all do. We left a little out there, and that's a shame. That's something we're going to have to deal with, you know, really for the rest of our lives. But nobody knows that more than him. I'm incredibly proud, as is our entire organization, for the way he's handled himself and the way he's played and for the way he's kind of led our team.
That is 49ers GM John Lynch, who was talking about Jimmy Garoppolo there. We'll talk about the 49ers in a moment. I'm just looking at someone's doing a tournament of logos, and on Twitter, the Red Wings are up against the Mets.
Ooh,
clearly the Mets are going to win.
Red Wings. Give me more of the matchups.
Come on! Really?
I'm the world's foremost authority on this.
Not really.
But I'd like to just knee-jerk react a lot of these matchups.
I know. Well, you have to give me a second to actually click on it and see what the matchups. I'll have it for you. Let me get to our guest, and that'll buy me some time because I don't have the matchups in front of me.
San Francisco's logo is good.
Which San Francisco? Oh, 49ers. I was wondering which. I wasn't sure which team you were talking about.
Up against the San Francisco Giants. I'll go with the Niners.
Oh, you got it? Okay. Oh, the Mets are a 9 seed. That's pretty good. Red Wings are a 16.
A 16 seed for the Red Wings?
If I read this right, it says 16 Red Wings versus 9 Mets. I'm assuming this is seeding.
Did they knock out a 1 seed?
I got to look at the
Where
bracket.
Where is this? I'll find
I think it's Deadspin. Try Deadspin, okay? Because it says something about Elite 8. Here it is. Okay. Oh, yeah. Here's a picture of the bracket. You're going to have to – I'll let you go through that because I want to bring in our guest while we're – and we'll get to that in a second.
We try not to go to Deadspin anymore.
Oh, okay.
It's a policy we have.
Oh, okay. Sorry. That's the tournament of logo thing. On our Western hotline is Bonte Hill. Bonte with 95.7, the game in San Francisco. And, of course, the Bills are playing the NFC West next season, which could end up being the best division in the league. That's one of the things I want to bring up. Bonte, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming up on our show very early out west.
Yeah, definitely early out here. It's about 6:35 in the morning on the West Coast, man. But I couldn't pass up the opportunity to talk to my guys in Buffalo, man. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're good. We're good. And I have football questions, but Bonte, as we get guests on, we're kind of getting a feel for how things are going in their respective cities. And I wanted to ask you because I feel like San Francisco was one of the first, maybe the first major city to go into shutdown mode.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we've been shut down, it feels like, for an eternity right now. And the rules kind of came into place about 3 weeks ago. And, you know, just driving by the beach the other day and just trying to get some fresh air. There's barricades at the beach. There's cones at the park. There's signs at the park not to go into the park. I mean, it is ghost town out here. I've never seen it more dead, especially in my neighborhood. I mean, it's pretty eerie and surreal. All the restaurants, the local restaurants are closed. The bar scene's done. I mean, it is. I mean, it's for the best, no doubt about it. You know, the 6 feet distance and that we're seeing implemented all across the world. But I mean, it is really surreal. And when it did take place, I think it took a while for people to really listen to the rules of old day. What was going on out here? I mean, a few weeks ago, the beach was just packed, fellas, packed. And I'm thinking, all right, what's going on here? I get people want to leave the house and get some fresh air, but let's be smart out here. So there's barricades on the beach. Everything is shut down here. So we're trying to do our part out here on the West Coast, out here in San Francisco, to make sure we can get back to normalcy as soon as possible.
With the Niners, let's start with the losses this offseason. And we were just talking about Emmanuel Sanders earlier this hour, but let me start with DeForest Buckner. I know they're extremely deep and talented up front, but how much of a loss is Buckner, the trade?
I think it's a big loss. I mean, as soon as that trade happened, you know, a source inside the organization texted me, said, boy, this is heartbreaking, because not only was he the glue of the defensive line on the field, he was the captain of the defensive line, the Bill Walsh Award winner out here in San Francisco. But, I mean, off the field, he was a fixture in the community. People were getting to know DeForest Buckner and his family, what he was doing for kids, what he was doing for communities out here. And you just talk about consistency. A lot of people say, well, DeForest Buckner, he's better than a 3-4 than a 4-3. Whatever. He took on a lot of double teams for Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa, and D Ford in that defensive line. He did the dirty work, and he was so stout against the run. I think it's a big loss just in terms of the leadership and being the glue of his defensive line. Now without DeForest Buckner, you have a guy who, you put the onus on Eric Armstead and D Ford to stay healthy. You know, up until last season, Eric Armstead had battled injuries. We've seen what happened with D Ford in Kansas City. He's missed seasons. You know, he's missed a lot of games in Kansas City. Last year, it starts in training camp where he has the tendonitis in his knee. And from there, it was just like, man, he can't stay healthy. So I think it's a big loss now. He's not a guy you're going to just replace with one player. They got to figure out, okay, how do we add here? And they obviously get DJ Jones back from his season-ending injury from a season ago. Lonnell Blair is back, but he's a guy where it's just like, damn, he's kind of irreplaceable here. So the onus is back on Eric Armstead and D Ford to remain healthy, because if they can't stay healthy, they're really going to feel the loss of DeForest Buckner.
Any other key losses, including Sanders? Who else would you bring up in the offseason discussion?
Well, they cut Mike Person yesterday, the starting right guard, but I think they're a little deeper at offensive line, more so than what people think. The Sanders loss, as you just mentioned, is a big one. But other than that, they have the same team coming back. You know, you look at cornerback. Richard Sherman's a year older, but he's still smart. He's still wise beyond his years. You still have Emmanuel Mosley and Akello Witherspoon at the safety position. They brought back Jimmy Ward. Jimmy Ward basically said no to the Las Vegas Raiders and came back to San Francisco. You still have the linebackers back in Fred Warner, Quan Alexander. So for the most part, this team is still intact, and it looks like they probably will go receiver at some point in the NFL draft. I know they have two first-round picks, two fifth-round picks, so they'll probably go receiver a little early here. But for the most part, they're bringing back the same team, fellas. And that's including the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, who for some reason everybody wants out of town.
Was there – yeah, okay. I was actually going to get to the whole – go ahead, Jeremy, the Brady stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that. Yeah. Like, what's the feeling on Garoppolo, who has been good at times, but maybe is the feeling not good enough because of the kind of salary he commands and these, you know, up there with one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league?
Yeah, it's really weird. Now, he got front-loaded his money, Jimmy Garoppolo, that is. So if you look at his deal going into next season, you know, when you look at a quarterback making $26, $27, $28 million, I think in today's day and age, you take that, especially when you're looking at what Jared Goff is getting paid, what Dak Prescott is getting paid. You look at the contract Tom Brady received. Fellas, it's weird because he was one thrower 7 minutes away from winning Super Bowl MVP and really shutting up the haters. And he had a really good season, especially the back half of the season when they did play Green Bay, Baltimore, New Orleans, three really tough games in a row. Jimmy Garoppolo, for the most part, delivered, especially in the Superdome against Drew Brees. It's funny, on Twitter, 49er fans love Jimmy Garoppolo for the most part. I say 80% on Twitter, Niner fans are on board with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now on my show, it's like mixed. I mean, we get calls every day saying the Niners should dump Jimmy Garoppolo. They should look at guys like Kirk Cousins and Tom Brady. So it is really weird how much heat he gets for a quarterback who just went through his first full season. Folks want him out of town for some reason, and he helped his team go 13-3. I think people look at the playoffs and say, well, how come Shanahan elected to run the ball so much? Well, the running game was working. The running game was working against Minnesota, a very good defense, and so he wanted to stick to the running game. And in Green Bay couldn't stop it. So why empty the playbook when you know you're playing in the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks? I think people look at the end of the first half with Shanahan not calling a timeout of Super Bowl 54, not really running a two-minute drill until they did pick up a first down against Kansas City. I think it's the way he finished the game, Jimmy Garoppolo, that is. And so there were some people beating on the drum for Tom Brady, but I think it was 70% Niner fans in the camp and corner of Jimmy Garoppolo to bring him back. There was 30% here saying, you know what, you need to replace him because he'll never be the guy. So this upcoming season, fellas, where he's playing Buffalo and New England and the Jets and Miami, and I think the AFCs will be much, much more improved this next season. Those other three teams I mentioned, your Buffalo Bills and the Jets and the Dolphins, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to ball out. He's going to have to perform this year, fellas, or Kyle Shanahan will be looking to move on from him because essentially his contract, fellas, is a year-to-year deal. The Niners can get out of it with not eating a lot of money, you know, 4.5 this year, 2.8 million next year in dead money. So there's a lot of pressure on him to perform, which is crazy because, fellas, they're still holding quarterbacks to a standard of Steve Young and Joe Montana. It was like, that was 30 years ago, 25 years ago, fellas. Just let him be Jeff Garcia or Alex Smith and move on with their day.
We're with Bonte Hill from 95.7 The Game in San Francisco. Having said all of that, do you believe there were internal discussions about Brady?
Yes, absolutely. We're hearing reports that the Niners considered it and then they backed off, which tells me they definitely explored the situation. But I'll say this. With the ego of Kyle Shanahan, and he's borderline cocky. He believes that he is the best offensive mind in pro football. He believes he's the best quarterback on the roster due to what he does in practice and throwing the ball around. I do believe they looked at Tom Brady to say, okay, should we pay him? Should we move off of Jimmy Garoppolo? Because if Tom Brady comes here, we have to alter everything towards Tom Brady, and the window gets expedited to win the championship. I don't believe that the Niners really wanted that pressure. And they're probably saying, look, we just made the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I believe it's more Kyle Shanahan wanted to move off of Jimmy Garoppolo or having a trust issue with Jimmy Garoppolo than it's anything else. I'm not saying Kyle Shanahan wants to completely dump him, but why is Kyle Shanahan talking about Kirk Cousins the week of the Super Bowl? Why does he continuously say, yeah, I knew Kirk Cousins was going to be a free agent. I knew him out there in Washington. Why do you continue to kind of undermine your quarterback that you have, who is getting better and better and better and better? So I do believe there's discussions, and I think at the end of the day, John Lynch and company just said, look, Jimmy Garoppolo's fine. Continue to improve with him. Open up the playbook a little bit more. He will get better in his second. You know, we know what happened in 2018 when he got hurt against Kansas City, but let him play another full schedule, and he'll be just fine. But fellas, to answer your question, there was definitely discussions about Tom Brady. There's no doubt in my mind.
Final thing for you. Top to bottom, since the Bills are crossing over and playing the West next season, top to bottom, do you think that'll be the best division in the league?
The AFC East or the NFC West? NFC West?
Yeah, NFC West, sorry. Yep.
Yeah. No, no doubt. I mean, I don't know if it'll be the best, but it's definitely going to be competitive. You know, Seattle's not going anywhere. I think Arizona with Kyler Murray is going to get a lot better, especially after the trade for DeAndre Hopkins. I think that offense is going to be a problem. They got better and better and better in that spread system in Arizona. But look, the NFC East with Dallas and Philadelphia, I think they'll be better. The South now with Tampa Bay and New Orleans, that's going to be a tough division. The North is always tough. AFC West is going to be sneaky good. You just never, never know. But I do believe the Niners, Cardinals, and Seattle are going to compete for a playoff spot. I think the Rams take a step back. They have so much money tied into the quarterback and Jared Goff and Andrew Whitworth, an aging tackle, Jalen Ramsey. Of course, they spent so much for the trade for him, bringing him over to Jacksonville. I definitely think the NFC West is going to be the more competitive divisions in football. But I'm telling you guys, Don't sleep on the AC East out there. It's going to be sneaking good. Miami, I thought, got a lot better this offseason. Buffalo, that quarterback, man, is better than I thought. Trading for Stephon Diggs, doing what you had to do to bring a playmaker there. The Western New York. I think Belichick in New England is going to be very intriguing with that defense. I know they lost a lot of guys. And then the Jets with Sam Darnold. What do they do in the upcoming NFL draft and improve that offensive line? I think we're going to look at two competitive divisions in the AFC East and NFC West. Right now, probably the NFC West, to answer your question, is right now the best on paper. But let's see this thing play out, man. I think we're in for some big-time surprises next year in the NFL.
Bonte, be safe, be healthy. Thanks for giving us time early out there this morning.
Absolutely, guys. Take care out there in Buffalo, man. My wishes to everybody out there. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Let's get through this thing together, man. We're going to be all right.
Amen. All right, Bonte. Thank you, sir. Bonte Hill. With 95.7 The Game in San Francisco, joining us on the Western Hotline. Extendo Sports coming up. Instigators, top of the hour. And you could turn on MSG because there's a minute 50 left in overtime. Then you get to watch the Around the World shootout move from Thomas Vanek.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Go fast.
Sports. PFF Draft's Twitter account just asked a question. What's the greatest college football play of all time?
The band and is on the field!
No.
Okay.
Wrong answer.
What is it?
There is a right answer. You have 1 minute to think about it. Think of it. It
greatest
came to me
college
right away.
Player.
It's the greatest college football play of all time.
Oh, the Auburn-Alabama game.
Yep. Auburn's kick six.
Kick six. Right. I couldn't remember. Yeah. Auburn's going to win the game. They're going to win the Iron Bowl.
Of all the ever greatest player, greatest play, greatest this, greatest that, that I've seen in my life, I'm convinced
last minute
that
of play
that is
in the
actually
show.
The greatest play in that sports history, and I remember where I was when I saw it, and it is amazing every time you watch it.
That was a great call, too, by the late Auburn play-by-play announcer. Who
everything about
yeah.
it is amazing.
Yeah, it really was.
Contenders, band is on the field. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only because how crazy that was.
The Boise State Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. Against
maybe.
Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fun. I got to think about this for tomorrow.
It's got to be the kick six.
Yeah,
love the answer.
What an amazing play. The rivalry, what was at stake,
yep.
the field goal being missed, the return. I mean,
just
come on.
Just incredible.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the Deadspin logo tournament brackets. The Sabres have made it through a couple rounds.
Ooh.
They had a bunch of play-in games. They knocked out, among others, the Red Sox.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about
they
that.
They knocked
one.
Off a couple of Titans along the way here.
Yeah,
so,
I like the Red Sox logo.
It's an interesting little bracket. Anyway,
All
we'll
right.
talk tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.